We are going to engage a study in the book of Matthew from here on into Easter season. And it's going to be at Matthew chapter 13. We're just going to hang out there for a while. Matthew structured his gospel so that he has chunks of teaching. And then, you know, he'll have a couple of chapters of teaching, and then he'll have a couple of chapters of action, where Jesus will be doing miracle after miracle. And so this is one of his teaching places, and it's about parables. It is parables. One of the great dividing lines that we think about and talk about in our day and time is between good and evil. And in the common culture now, people would tell you that they don't actually believe there's any such thing as good or evil. But if they didn't believe in evil, I don't know why people would come out into the streets and have anything to protest about. And so best I can tell is that people get upset if they don't believe in good and evil. What they're upset about is that they're not in charge. That's as close as I can come. But then there are other people who definitely feel there is right and wrong and good and evil. So Alexander Solzhenitsyn, famous Russian author who spent a number of years in the United States and then went back to Russia in his latter years, said that he really thought a lot about the dividing line between good and evil. And where was that line? And that is one of the big questions of our time, because if you ask yourself the question, well, who's good and who's evil, you find yourself having all kinds of different thoughts about that. Is it because of there are some countries that we think of as evil? We're good and they're evil. But is that really where the dividing line is? Are there not good people in every country? Are there not evil people in every country? So that might not be such a useful category, even though we use it a lot. But for sure, this one. How about political parties? Oh, yes. Now, there's some evil people. I love this picture. This is, I think this is in the Ukrainian parliament, but you'll see this often in, I think, in South Korea and some other countries. It always, I find it entertaining because to have a parliament means that you're using words instead of weapons. But sometimes you just got to punch somebody in the mouth. And it occurred to me that as unhealthy as this probably is, it might not be such a bad thing, because some of the people that we have in Congress that get to be in their 70s and 80s and have been there forever and have made millions of dollars and are horribly corrupt, if this were a possibility, they might retire a little bit sooner. Okay, I'll let you have that one and decide what you want to do with that. How about the dividing line between those who have and those who do not? If you're on one side of this and you're looking and you say, well, rich people are taking things from me and keeping me from what I want. And if you're on the other side of the dividing line, well, those people are all out there looking to take my stuff. Is that how we divide between good and evil? Well, no. Alexander Solzhenitsyn came to the conclusion that the dividing line did not go between political parties, it did not go between countries, it did not go between any of these, rich and poor. It goes right through the middle of the human heart. And that's where the dividing line is. Each of us has to decide all kinds of things in this life, and that decision process takes place in our hearts. And so Jesus engages a parable that I'm going to read here in a minute that talks about the human heart. Now, I have tried to not grow a garden, but it seems impossible for us. I think it's in our DNA. When I moved out here, I left all my gardening stuff at my house in California and then ended up buying a new rototiller and everything else because apparently we just couldn't stand it. And the thing about gardens is that it looks nice, you know, once you get it all plowed up and weeded and planted, it looks nice from standing outside. But when you actually get in and do the work of digging up the dirt, rototilling it, you know that there are different places in the garden, usually, that it's not all the same. There'll be places where the ground is just soft and tills up like flour, and then other places where you've got a rototiller, a big heavy one, and it's just thumping on clay. It's just scraping. Or other places where it goes down for an inch and then it's thumping on clay again. And our hearts are rather like that. We're all different from one another, and then we're all different on different issues. Some of us are very encouraged people. We grew up in a home where we were encouraged. Some of us have been broken in that childhood process. Some of us have a rather flat disposition, and some of us are rather lively. Some of that's wired in. We just are who we are from birth, from conception, really. And then you blend into that all that goes on in the home. That's why we're having a parenting seminar this coming Saturday, 8:30 in the morning until noon. I would encourage you to be there. We're taking sign-ups for it, but there's no charge. So if you don't sign up, just come anyway. But if you would sign up, it would help us to know how many folks are going to be there. We're going to have babysitting, some snacks while we to keep us sustained. But we're going to have a couple of professional Christian counselors. One of them is Dan Gallant here, and the guy who mentored him, Fritz Maurer. And it's going to be a very good opportunity because what you do in that household during that short period of time you have your kids really determines what their life is going to be like to a large extent. Now, some human beings are just born and they're just irrepressible. They're going to take over and do all kinds of things no matter what. But most of us aren't quite like that. We can be, when we're young and we're tender and we're pliable, we can be sort of bent out of shape. And so we just want an opportunity to get people together and perhaps learn some things from the scriptural perspective on moving from chaos in the home to a connected home. And there's a lot of things going on these days in the homes where we get people don't know what to do. We've lost kind of our reference point in the world. We don't use this as a reference point, God's word anymore, in the schools or anywhere else. So people don't know what to do. So they kind of make stuff up as they go along. Well, there's a certain amount of child rearing, as you will know if you've done it, that is made up as you go along. And later on, they come to you like you know what you're doing, and you go, if I'd had any idea this was all ad-libs, I wouldn't have worried so much. But in fact, there are some principles. And children need to have some guiding principles. And what you find is that if there's no guiding principles, then you have chaos. And so you have perhaps parents who do nothing, and then the next response they do is to turn harsh, and they overreact. And so this is about keeping the car on the road, if you will, staying out of the ditches, moving from chaos to connection. In our hearts, there are some things that we're soft about, we're tender towards, and other things that we're hard about. And some people are harder than others in their hearts. Some are responsive to God. Some are not. Some are open to spiritual things. Some are not. Some people feel deeply about problems, but they seem unable to react or respond in any way to it. And so there are all, we all have areas where we struggle to connect. And that's the truth of it. And so that's why we're together, and that's why Jesus teaches us these parables. And so this chapter 13 of Matthew, it's addressed to the crowds. Jesus tells this parable to a crowd of people and not to his disciples. And then he talks to his disciples later on and tells them what these things mean. He's teaching in parables. And this first parable is about people, is a parable about people listening to parables. How they respond. How do we receive this? How do we hear it? Some people get it. Some people don't. Some people want to get it, and some people don't care. So the focus in this first parable is not on the one doing the planting of the seeds, but how the seeds are received. So the question we need to be thinking about as we ponder this is, what kind of a heart do I have? How open am I to what God is, to the seeds that God is planting? So let me read this for us. Starting in chapter 13 at verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. And then the disciples came to him and asked. Now, so notice the difference. He shifts to the disciples. He's been talking to the crowds. And now the disciples, the word disciple means a follower. The people that followed him to where he was next asked the question. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? And he replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is filled the prophecy of Isaiah. And this is from Isaiah chapter 6, when he had his vision in the temple. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. And so he lays the question out for us. When the truth comes along, will it find a place in me? Will it find a place in me? And so we can just, Jesus goes back through this parable. And we ask the first question, do I have a hard heart? Jesus goes on in verse 18. He says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes along and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path that he had talked about when he first told that. Now, the path is the trampled down part. It's the hardened place. Guy tells a story about conversation he had with his young son in their house. He was a first grader, the boy was. His name was Max. His dad said, "Max, why didn't you answer me when I called you?" Max said, "I didn't hear you, Dad." "What do you mean you didn't hear me?" "No answer." "How many times didn't you hear me?" "I don't know, maybe 3 or 4. I have an old dog, he's getting deaf now, and he's always had a case of selective hearing, and now he's got an excuse because he really can't hear. But what do we let come in? What do we receive? The path is the place where everyone walks, and the soil gets trampled down. It gets hard. It's hard to plow that soil up. It's hard to get anything to grow there. Nothing grows there, actually. And a heart can be trampled, too, like a pathway. It can be trampled down like the road. If you're a person who's been hurt a lot in your life, your heart can get hard. You can find that you now have an excuse to do wrong things because you don't know what it's like to be me. Or your heart can get hard because you're used to hurting other people. Well, they're going to just have to get over it. Those are hardened hearts. People that have experienced and caused injustices. And they find for themselves excuses to do more injustices in the name of injustice, as it were. He says that these people don't understand. And what he really means when he says don't understand is that they're not interested enough to follow and find out. That's why he gives the answer to this to his who? The disciples. Who bothered to ask the question, "What are you talking about?" Was it just a contest? We all sit here with our hands folded. Okay, we're all being good. This is nice. I don't understand a word what he said, but I was good, and now it's over, and I'm going home. Jesus says, you didn't understand, and you didn't come and ask. You didn't become a disciple. You didn't follow. You didn't press him with the question, "What are you talking about?" But his disciples, his followers, just had to know. Jesus is not afraid to leave a question hanging in the air. He's not going out of his way to make sure everybody understood everything. He made sure that he told them enough that they should want to know more. People who are hard of heart make demands of God. Well, if God were really a good God, thus and so would have never happened. So I don't really have to consider him. Why would I believe in a God like that? Instead of listening to God, instead of searching and struggling, there's a process. Saw one actor on the television being interviewed, and he said, "If there is a God, he has a lot to answer for." And I thought to myself, oh my, you're going to have a lot to answer for too when you meet him. The hard heart is often very sure of itself. Why would I need to ask more? If I don't know it already, why would I need to know it? There's nothing here. So the seed gets planted on that heart. It wasn't because God decided they would not answer. It's simply because they're allowing the hardness of their heart to become an excuse to not press on with God and to ask the further question. Well, the next kind of soil he talks about is what would be called a shallow heart. He says in verse 20, he goes on to explain that the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And I guess I would describe this as sort of a nice variation on the hard heart. There's a little bit of soil on top of a layer of clay or rock. And there's just enough soil to get something started, but it's the nice variation. It's people that will give you a sweet smile that won't offend you, but they're unwilling to change. They're willing to press on with it. I remember doing some evangelism many years ago now, and it was a particular